So good evening, everyone, members of our committee and members of the public. My name is Jennifer Lara, Executive Assistant and Board Secretary at Magnolia Public Schools. We're going to commence today's Magnolia Public Schools Nominating and Governance Committee meeting, but before doing so, a couple of reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. And second, if you are a member of the public and you wish to make a comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. If it is something that you feel uncomfortable in doing so, you do not have to say your name. But as a reminder to our staff and committee members for tonight, please state your name before giving your comment or your question. And with that, we'll officially begin tonight's meeting. The day is Thursday, November 18th, 2021, and the time is 5:06 p.m. With that, Dr. Yapano, if you may please call the meeting to order.
Yes, I'm calling this meeting to order. It's 5:06 p.m.
Thank you, Dr. Yapano. With that, I'll record attendance to establish quorum. Dr. Yapano?
Here.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Thank you to our committee members. We have quorum. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to approval of agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll make the
motion. Second.
Thank you. I'll take roll call. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes. Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee members. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to public comments. As a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comment, 6 minutes if translation is needed. If you're a member of the public and you wish to make a comment, you may unmute yourself now. If there's no public comment at this time, we'll move forward with the agenda. Next, with the announcements from CEO and superintendent and committee members, we'll turn this over to Mr. Rubalcaba.
Yes, good evening, Sandra, Umid. Very nice to see you, Magnolia family and community. So obviously, as all of you know, as we get closer to Thanksgiving break and winter break, a lot of things are happening at the school. And today we had an opportunity to celebrate with the principals and our board of directors, our Thanksgiving feast. And it was very positive. A lot of sharing of great anecdotes of the year and memories of years past. And obviously we filled our tummies with a lot of food, but it was very just positive. And our principals meeting is still going, despite me, the longest principals meeting we've ever had. And that's because our lunch did take close to 2 hours and 20 minutes, but it was very good. So I'm just happy to report that at the school sites, they're also celebrating with their staff. So it's just a very, I think, appreciative moment at the school, especially with everything that's going on with the pandemic. So just happy to report that these things are happening at our school, and we expect them to continue throughout the next month.
Thank you, Mr. Rubalcaba. With that, I'll turn it over to the committee members if they have any announcements. Perfect. If no announcements, we'll move forward with the agenda. Next, with the approval of minutes from MPS Regular Nominating Governance Committee meeting on April 12, 2021. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
So moved.
I'll second it.
Thank you. I'll take roll call vote. Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Thank you to our committee members. The minutes for April 12, 2021 has been approved. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to recommended action items, starting with 2A, committee approval of findings to conduct virtual meetings pursuant to AB 361 Government Code Section 54953. I'll turn this over to Ms. Rubalcaba, our CEO and superintendent.
Yes, Sandra, Umid, you're very well aware of AB 361, as I think this is maybe the sixth time that we've went over AB 361. So in essence, it allows us to continue to do our teleconference meetings so long as we meet one of these conditions. And I think we've been doing a great job of having our teleconference meetings and covering everything, which again, it's a much better alternative to having it at the school site because of the risk of COVID. And I think we've, again, as we've always done, continue to provide access and opportunity to our parents and educational partners to jump onto the meeting and be able to engage and give their feedback. With that, I'll turn it over to Jen to add other layers of information on AB 360.
Thank you, Mr. Alcala. Good evening again, committee members, members of the public. AB 361, like Mr. Alcala said, has been presented multiple times already to our board. So I'm not going to go over too much in detail, but pretty much AB 361, as you know, extends certain flexibilities in conducting teleconference meetings during a declared state of emergency. So currently right now, local health officials are still recommending measures of social distancing. So in order to keep our staff, as well as our board and families safe, but continue doing the works of what the board is doing, what staff is doing, is we find it in the best interest to continue teleconference meetings so the job can go on, but in a safe manner. Obviously, one of the biggest provisions under AB 361 is that we do have to revisit and make a motion on this by or before 30 days, which is why it's being presented today to the Nominating and Governance Committee. That is it for that part. I'll open up the floor to any questions or comments that members of the public may have. Okay, if not, I'll turn it over to the committee members if you have any questions or comments regarding this item. Perfect. If there's no questions or comments, the motion is for the Nominating and Governance Committee to adopt the findings relating to the ability of the Magnolia Public Schools Nominating Governance Committee to conduct meetings due to teleconference during the state of emergency in reference to AB 361 Government Code Section 54953. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move it.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias.
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Yabana. I'll take roll call vote. Dr. Yabana?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee members. The motion carries with unanimous approval. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to information discussion items 3A, review and discuss Magnolia Public Schools 2022-23 Board of Directors Handbook. I'll turn this over to Ms. Urubalcaba, our CEO and superintendent.
Yes, good evening again. So one of the things that happened when we became partners with the LA Coalition for Excellent Public Schools, which is another 9 charter management organizations, that we started something called the Community of Practice. And the Community of Practice extends from our CAO's meeting, the Chief Academic Officer's meeting, to talk about academic priorities for the organizations, especially under a pandemic. So that happens, you know, once a month. We also have meetings around communications. So that happens once a month. There's also communities of practice around health and safety. And when we have board meetings, we also discuss different things from, you know, educator pay to just innovative programs that each school has. So with this partnership, one of the things that happened as soon as we did, commence this partnership, one of the schools, KIPP in particular, had shared with me their board handbook. And they had communicated to me that this board handbook was used not only to tell their story and tell what their history is, but who their board is, what their board priorities are, and most importantly, why it would be amazing to have prospective board members join us so they could see the what, why of Magnolia Public Schools. So with that, we had said back then towards the end of the year that we wanted to create a similar handbook that looked somewhat similar to theirs, but we would add some features so then we could share with any one of our educational partners, from philanthropists, prospective board members, anyone that wants to learn more about our organization and specifically our board and some of the practices we follow and how we look at onboarding new board members. So this handbook was created, we started that process in 1920. And this process was obviously a slow process because throughout that process, we were, you know, hit with a pandemic, and we pretty much stalled with the handbook. But we did pick it up again once Jen became, you know, our lead, our liaison to the board. She took on this project working with Talia, who's on the line, part of our OC department, so we could make it very visually appealing and also to add components that we were missing. For instance, bios for all the school leaders here at the home office, all the home office leaders, and then also to strengthen kind of what our onboarding should look like. So as you could see, if you haven't had a chance to review it, and Jen, just go through the slides really quick. It has our vision, mission, core values. So that's in alignment with the portrait of a graduate. So that's updated. It talks about our schools, the school locations. And again, it goes into responsibilities of the board, which again, I think is very important for us to showcase what is expected, but more importantly, how expansive the responsibilities of the board are, from the committee meetings, structures, to why we have those committees, to obviously, again, the graduate work, which we're showing there, which has some measurable outcomes. And these school-wide learning outcomes have now been turned into posters that are now at the school sites. And then the teachers who were part of this process, along with staff and the board, we created these goals. So all these are being displayed at the school and they're being followed and monitored. We're still at a point where our systems are able to catch and see how we're doing in these areas, but it's something that we will continue to strengthen. And then obviously the board member profiles, as you read through it, it just shows how diverse we are, again, for prospective board members, but also for funders, right? If funders want to get a sense of what it is that our board represents and what it is that makes Magnolia special, this would be something that we share with them. And another thing that we're going to work on, which is very complementary to this board handbook, is going to be our annual plan. And that annual kind of outcomes plan showcases some of the work and some of the great things that have happened throughout the year. And this is something, again, from a financial perspective, you're able to share how that looked for the end of the year, and from an academic perspective, governance perspective. And these plans are something that, again, are very typical. And now that we have an extra person, our wonderful CXO, Dr. Lopez, and Talia from her team, is we'll be able to create a very comprehensive annual report for 21-22. And we have different models that we'll be using. Some of the other CMOs are going to share their models. So this is something that'll be accompanying this. So I think today is a matter of just getting your input on what you think, you know, should be added. We've been doing this with the principals. We've been doing this with the C team to get a sense of, is there anything we should add to this board handbook? Is there anything that would make it more pleasing and appealing to the different people? So that's what we're asking today. But I do want to thank Talia and the OC department for working on this, and also Jen for working on this. They've been the primary people adding the different layers of detail to this board handbook. So with that, Jen, I'll turn it to you just to get your perspective, since you worked on it, before I turn it over to the board for any feedback.
Yeah, so you actually beat me to it. I did want to thank Dalia from the Outreach and Communications Department for helping with the layout and design of this, the initial handbook. So as Alfredo mentioned, this is the draft. Nothing is definitive first. I just wanted to present it to the Governance Committee for feedback, as well as any edits that we should include to the handbook. So, you know, I'll be scrolling to the pages. Hopefully you had time to review when it was sent on Friday. But some things I did want to point out, which is not here, probably a little bit towards the handbook, is the CXO description is not added. So that is something that we'll add. I think you can, yeah, we're in this section. So here is the C team. So we missed the CXO portion. So we'll definitely add that. Another thing that I did want to add is the bylaws that's at the end of this handbook is blurry. We didn't realize that it was blurry when we uploaded the file, but that is something that could be easily fixed. So another thing is that staff did recommend for us to include our MPS org chart, which I think is great. You know, like Alfredo mentioned, this is used as a, it could be used as a marketing tool for like potential board members. So even though they can see the whole CMO office, it's always good to include a visual where they can see who is here, who is like the lead and who is part of that team, and easier, an easy structure. So a lot of the information that you see has been updated, the CEO metrics, the committee descriptions has been updated to include that additional development piece under the stakeholder committee, as well as who is the chair. So information like that in regards to, so here you can see the committees on your screen. And if I'm going too fast, please let me know. Additional documents. So it's always fitting for new board members and upcoming board members to see the calendar, how our calendar is arranged, as well as for them to get an understanding of how our agenda is structured. That way that they have a better sense of what to expect or what a board meeting agenda is and how things play out. So here in the home office leadership team, once again, it is a draft because we're still working on it and because we're still awaiting for the arrival of our CFO, which you can see that portion is blank until they arrive and we can get a description from them. But after today's meeting, you know, I want to really focus on this process. I do think the handbook is a crucial part of telling Magnolia's story, but also getting Magnolia's word out there for potential new board members. So I really do want to take the time to ensure that the handbook, once it's finally approved by the board and finalized, that it's the best that we can make it. So today we'll discuss any edits that the committee may have, as well as individually, me speaking individually to the committee members, and we could hash out more specific details of the handbook before it's presented again to the governance committee, as well as the board. But that is my section, and everything that we discussed today, I'll take note of it, that way that we can include it for the next time we present it to the committee. So that is it on my portion. Alfredo, do you want to add anything?
No, you covered it. I'm open to feedback from Sandra Onimit.
Great. Before we do that, is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? Perfect. If not, committee members, I'll open up the floor to you.
Okay. So first of all, I love this handbook. It's so detailed. It has all the information that as a new board would come, a new board member would come and be able to understand us and know who's who, the responsibilities of the board. I only have two concerns or questions. The first one would be, which is ideal, I think it's perfect, but I'm just concerned because of the Brown Act, where it says building relationships with our board members. On the second section on page 17, coffee with two or three board members. Are we allowed to do that? Or would that break the Brown Act?
Great question. This is, when this wasn't changed, that portion when it was first created in 1920, that was still when we had a bigger board. So that would definitely be changed to accommodate that now we have five board members. So it could be one. Once we get more board members, that could be changed back to two or three.
Good okay. Catch. Yeah, good catch. We'll just put in parentheses there virtually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that would still be considered like a meeting. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Good catch.
Yeah. I just wanted to double check. And then also, I know we spoke about this, and I know it's something that you want, Dr. Yapano, but I'm still not, just because of the urgency of getting more board members, I'm still not comfortable with the idea on page 16 to bring new members to a committee first and see for 6 months how they play and see if then they become board members.
Yes, that was the original design, because I think the advisory council is something we approved, but if it was never implemented in a way that would be fruitful. I think the way to have people get acquainted with us is being a committee member first. If they don't have any prior relationship with Magnolia in the form of a prior board member or prior... one second. Just give me 1 second, please.
Sorry, Ms. Covarrubias, could you address that concern you had again about non-board members for the advisory council?
So on page 16, mm-hmm. on the second paragraph, it starts indicating that the board has approved the creation of advisory councils,
mm-hmm.
and how for the new boards to be able to gain experience on different committees, and then we would they would become board members. My concern is I like the process only if we had more than five members right now. I just feel like we don't know how every other board member is feeling, if they're just holding on just because they don't want to leave four members. I mean, you know, so I feel like this would be ideal if we had, for me, in my opinion, over seven board members, then we can probably start doing this.
I think we can bypass this for exceptional board members. I think the nominating committee could have the power to nominate. This is like something nice to have.
No, we could add. We could add that specific paragraph under here to be able to inform the public that if we do fast track someone, that's allowable.
Yes.
Yeah. If we just indicate something where this is not the only way to get to become a board member, that would help.
Okay. Yes, we could do that. That's good feedback.
And again, I think advisory council, we don't have it operational, but we have the committees. So having these community members as part of committees and then getting them exposed to Magnolia that way is still, I think, a better way. Because, I mean, let's say we get people on the advisory council, what are they going to do? How are they going to interact with us? Because we don't have an operational, but in the committees, we have regular meetings, CT members interact with committee members. So I think this is a better way to get them exposed to the workload and how Magnolia works, our culture. And then I think after 6 months or a year or so, we might consider them for a full board membership. And then also they will have enough information and visibility into how things work to see if they can actually commit that workload commitment as well. This was my thinking of the structure. But again, I agree with you, Sandra, that for cases such as this, we should have the ability to fast track someone if we believe in the capabilities and that the board member is committed. We should have a way to do that.
Yeah.
So you don't want it. So my understanding, you guys don't want it the old way. Like you don't want like where you and you know how I came aboard, how you chose me, Alfredo, and then Saken and Rabbi interviewed me. And then I became a board member. So we're not longer doing it that way anymore.
Well, that would be fast tracking. Yes. So you were fast tracked.
I think also, okay. Sandra, I mean, you had a prior relationship with Magnolia much longer than some of the board members even. So
Portuguese
is a bit of a no-brainer to everyone that you are serving as the PTA president for some time, and you have been a parent for so long that it just made sense to fast-track you. But for someone that doesn't know us and then we don't know the person, mm-hmm. it helps to have that buffer time for both parties to sort of get to know, like a dating basically in the committees, and then get the nomination from that committee members. It could be either or both,
mm-hmm.
C-team member or one of the committee members that could nominate them to be considered for a board membership if they like the workload they are able to contribute, and they like the organization, because this is okay. This isn't like a light commitment, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. So we'll add that detail. We'll add that specific detail in terms okay. of what criteria someone has to meet in order to be fast tracked, right?
And let's, we can use like on the background, like create a Google Doc or something so that we can comment on and finalize this, because this is the critical part, I think, to make sure that it's clear, and will be beneficial to the organization,
I think. And then also, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Ms. Cabrera.
No, go ahead, because I'm going to look for that page that I want to ask a question.
Okay. In regards to just adding more context, the advisory council is not specifically in our bylaws, in which is like the nominations by committee. So we mm-hmm. can make it more clear. I think this is just like the vetting process, which is why the advisory council was created. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to go to the advisory council like specific person in order for them to be nominated for a potential board member.
Yes, I mean, we created this council, but we never implemented it. I mean, there is no one in the council. But
Dr. Yabuna, why did we create this again? I'm sorry, it's been a while.
Because that's the way KIPP does it, and most CMOs do it. CMOs typically
work for Magnolia?
No. No, it's one way that you could add a board member. So I think for us, given what you just expressed, we have to be able to lay out different options or different things. Yeah. Because that doesn't mean we can never establish an advisory council. I think once we start building the board, I think there is an opportunity. I could count four people that I think has had relationships with us that I could ask to be part of the advisory council. But again, back to Dr. Yapanel's point, we would have to have something structured. And I think for us right now, that's a little bit too much.
Yes.
Typically this is a standard practice that others follow as well. But I think this is just one option. I think there's many ways, as we've just detailed, for us to recruit board members.
Okay.
Yeah, I think,
and then
putting them into committees is more practical, because we have established committees with established meeting calendars, and the need, actually, we definitely need more community input in most of those committees. So that makes more sense to me at this point. I think later on, if we and those people could be part of the advisory council too. I don't see a problem with that, but advisory council is like some council that really doesn't do active work, right? But whereas in committees, people are expected to actively participate and contribute. So it's a more of an exercise ground for us to get to know potential board members, is what I feel.
Yeah, and I think, Dr. Yapanel, the question we have to address, and I think we had began that conversation, was in terms, can there be non-board members on committees? I think that's what the conversation we started with our legal counsel. So we'll have to come back to them and say, can we have non-board members on committees? I think that's going to be the biggest question on that specific pathway to make someone a board member. So we'll have to get more clarity on that and inform you and Sandra.
Okay.
Yeah, so what Dr. Yapanel is asking, if instead of them being board members at first, put them into a committee and then? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And that's what Alfredo's going to ask.
Yes, yes. I don't Sandra, I just want to make sure that we can work, they're complementary. I mean, that we can work in harmony with them in committees first before we appoint them to the full board.
The thing is that I feel, in my opinion, that in committees, we have to bring a certain skill to the committees. And I don't know if we don't know them as well, where they can be placed or where they can be suited to serve our needs. And I think that being a board member gives us more of a chance to get to know the person better and help us with meetings to get to know the organization, and then they can serve on committees.
If I may add, technically anyone can join the committee, but they would be members of the public. So they can still give their comment, or let's say like their advice, but as a member of the public. The only difference is that they won't have any voting power, since they're not technically a board member.
Okay, so they have to be board members first to have a vote in the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can we clarify this, if they can be voting members or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll clarify, Dr. Yapanel.
Okay, okay.
And then now for page 14, I have a question. So where it says visit one school per year, can we increase that?
Yes. Would you like for us to put visit one school in each county? So that means they would visit one school in LA, one school in San Diego County, one in Orange County?
I mean, that would be nice if possible. I just feel like, I mean.
We should put like a limit, like at least one school. I mean,
at least, at a minimum.
At a minimum, or okay. I don't know, maybe two, I don't.
Yeah, because typically most of our board members have visited more than one school. You know, if we look at averages over the last 3 years, I think we definitely do more than that.
I think last year was good that board members were visible in graduations and other school events. If we can keep that momentum.
I think that we have to make it we have enough time in our schedule. You guys notify us with enough time for us to move things around. Dr. Yapanel is coming from far, and he finds ways and he works. And I feel like we all have to figure something out with their schedules to be able to visit at least graduations.
Yeah, I think also those visits should be for important school events. Like if we have one chance to visit a school rather than visiting at a random day, it could be one of those events where board members could be like a speaker, or if there are like other public officials are visiting the school, the board members' presence is important to coincide with those type of events.
Or like the WASC visits, if we can do that in person, that would help.
Yes, WASC visits too.
So I think we need to increase that visit one school per year more than that, and try to see if we can figure something out where it becomes a little bit of a mandatory than just an option. Because I don't think it should be fair for like all the burden to be on one or two board members, you know?
So for this to directly say visit or participate in WASC visits?
No, don't put WASC. Maybe what was the word, Dr. Yapanel? You said like important
school event, or like where board member presence is really important rather than being at a random day. Like it could be one of those WASC visits, or it could be an opening or a celebration where a public official is visiting the school as well.
Yeah. So like an important event, like, I don't know, just how you can word that.
Okay.
I think graduation is an obvious one, and then WASC visits are another one where board member attendance is.
Yeah.
So we'll just put events such as graduation, career day, WASC visits. We'll think of four or five to add there, et cetera, because you're right. There's many opportunities for board members to come on to participate actively, and we could definitely find those.
Okay. For my behalf, I think I'm okay with the whole handbook, aside from those items that I went over. I don't. If I catch something, if we can get like what Dr. Yapanal said, like a link or something where we can add more stuff to it if we find something if we think of other things.
Yeah, we could arrange also one-on-one. The edits that we discussed today for me to implement it for the, you can say part two of the draft, and we can go one-on-one to go more in detail.
Okay.
I want to update my resume. It's pretty old, both in the website and in this handbook too.
Yes, and as I was reading this, I was like, oh, you know, Dr. Dikpash, master's degree from Clemson. I'm like, I didn't even know Clemson's such a prominent athletic school, right? And he over here getting his mechanical engineering. So. So yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, like it's good. Even myself, knowing our board, just to read these over, quite a bit of experience and background. It's amazing.
I think it might be a good idea to ask board members if they want to refresh any of the information.
Yeah.
Resume on the web as well as in this handbook.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Alrighty. Any further comments for the handbook?
I'm good.
Yeah, this is all I had. Yeah, I think we just need to clarify that recruitment process in a way that would be fruitful. And other than that, it looks okay.
Okay.
Yeah, having this information in a handbook is really helpful. Thank you so much for putting it together. This is something we have been aspiring to do for long, finally implementing it.
Mm-hmm. So can I, Alfredo, take this handbook and when it's done and then recruit parents or something?
Yes, definitely. We'll find a system. We'll
do a little
connect on process. We'll connect on process. Yeah. We have to connect.
Yeah.
All right. If there's no further comment or question regarding the handbook, then that would conclude all of our items for tonight's nominating and governance committee. So with that, I'll ask Dr. Yapanal if you may please adjourn the meeting. The time is 5:43 p.m.
Okay, thank you so much again for everyone's participation and work. I'm adjourning the meeting at 5:43 p.m. See you shortly in the full board meeting.
All right,
thank you, everyone. See you.
Thank you. All right.